The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God, the pastor answered the phone to hear, "I need 10 cases of vodka delivered to my home." Struck by the request, the pastor also recognized the voice, that of Mrs. White. Feeling a bit awkward himself about it and realizing there will probably be some embarrassment in a moment, he sheepishly said, "Mrs. White, I'm your pastor." To that she said, "What are you doing at the liquor store?" It's just a joke. But it reveals a truth that we have to honestly address. There can be real incongruity between the way we are here in this space at this time compared to where we are the rest of our time. We can have a church persona or personality and then have a daily persona or personality, and our family gets it, even if we think we can be two different kinds of people in our life. And that's a real integrity issue. And it's certainly not the will of God for us to have a split personality, an official church persona, and then a private real-time, real-life persona. And the Lord is at work in dealing with those things. In the 70s, we would call people who were just pretending to be Christians nominal Christians, or Christians in name only. They just kind of went along with whatever, kind of blending in, being chameleon-like, only to then later on in their daily activities do what they wanted to do. It was a shock when one of the elders in my home church swore. I had no idea elders could ever swear. And I saw the incongruity in the way he raised his children. And it was sad. And even as a young kid, I realized there was something wrong there. When I went on a mission trip to China with a team of missionaries in 2005, it was interesting. Even in Hong Kong and Macau, and then going inland up the Pearl River into the, you know, into the mainland area, it was fascinating to talk with Christians. And they struggled with the same reality in China. They would talk about the cultural Christians, or the ones that were just kind of taking it on as a stylish thing that they would wear, but really not play it out in their life. They realized how hard it was to carry out Christian activity and live out the faith when there were people like that who were just playing the game, being cultural Christians. And again, that's not God's will for his baptized people. And yet, in your life and my life, we have enough testimony against us to make us realize that, yeah, there have been times when we've just played the game of church or played the game of Christian, but that's not God's will for us. That's not God's will for us. We really messed with the missionaries that we went with into the heartland of China when we started to drop our missionary role and become the tourist and buying the crazy things at some of the shops where the people would buy things so they could burn those things to give to their dead ancestors who needed those things. And we had no idea what we were doing to the missionaries, because now we were having an incongruent confession of faith. We had no business giving those shop owners any of our business, because we were promoting the demons behind the idols. And it really hurt our Christian missionaries, who tried their best to explain to us that is nowhere, no way to give a witness to those who are in that dark bondage in China. I think we got it after a while, but it's hard to have a congruent life as a Christian. Even in our confession and absolution portion of our epistle reading, there are two things going on inside of us that are radically different from each other. And it can be, frankly, a real tug of war. Who are we going to go with? Which one are we going to feed? Which one are we going to placate? And who are we going to say no to, even in ourselves? It's that personal in your life and my life. Still, God is at work in the baptized. He is at work caring for us and helping us to understand. Perhaps the paradigm shift happened to you long ago, and you've walked with the Lord as closely as you can, knowing that your whole life, everything about it, is a testimony. What you think and what you say and what you do, the verbal, the nonverbal, the tone, and what you say. But it takes a while for all of us. So when I was a mechanic, I was starting to realize that I could be a witness. I could give testimony wherever I was. I was finally starting to get it when I was in my middle 20s. Starting to realize that I could bear testimony and I could be a witness, a missionary, even as a mechanic. I remember talking with one of our pastors who was a vacancy. We were in a vacancy. We had lost our pastor, and so we had a bunch of vacancy pastors come through. And one of them was trying to help me because I was really struggling. And I remember just saying, all I want to do is just be what God wants me to be. I want to give testimony. I'm tired of being the fake Christian. Tired of being the one that just goes along to get along. And Even if it means I have to be a mechanic. Well, I'll pray for you, Stace, and all that. I just wanted to be the real deal. I didn't want to be fake. Not that I accomplished that. We're still tempted to be fake, according to our epistle reading, from which we are to repent and trust in the good news and try our best to be the real deal. Because that's God's will for us. That's what God wants for you and for me, to be the real thing, whatever that means, and all that that means in our lives of mission and ministry. Here's the paradigm shift from having a church persona to having a real persona as church. Understanding that all of our life is a life of mission and ministry to the praise of God. Mission and ministry. The paradigm shift is this. Beginning to understand that no matter where you are, you're the only church that might be there that people can attend. The persona shift, the paradigm shift is this. Wherever you're at during the course of this week, you may be the only Bible some will ever read. You may be the only Bible some will ever read. And the church they'll ever attend. Because that's the shift. We're so used to in our culture thinking that we drive to church and we go to church and I skip church fishing. When in truth, the church decided to sleep in. Is that okay? The church decided to go fishing. Is that okay? Just don't make it a habit. Unless you start holding services at the shoreline. That's the church. Can the church have a rum and coke for fun and relax? As long as it's legal. So wait till you're 21. Nick and Kate, Melissa, and et al. Can the church go bike riding? Sure. Can the church have an affair? Unfortunately. From which the church needs to repent. But God's will for his church is to think about itself in a fuller way. It's kind of like Isaiah 66. I hope that maybe you'll maintain some of the nomenclature of Holy Mother Church with a little different imagery of what you had before today. And Jerusalem, for that matter. And if you don't, that's okay. I'll try to bring it up again. God wants us to understand who and what we are. Because after all, the world really does need the church. The challenge in your life and my life is we've been so successfully trained by secular humanism that we're not used to thinking of ourselves this way as church, or as being a Bible, for that matter. We have been trained to think of this place as the church. Come on, let's just admit it. And going to church, or driving away from church, or skipping church. We've been trained to be incongruent by the world around us, and God would have us understand ourselves differently. And that's the purpose of this meditation today, to understand who and what we are. And that is no longer about the apostles. It continues to be about their witness in the scripture, but now it's our sharing of that witness to the world around us. We're now in their place. And what you and I can do in our lives is no less significant to God's purposes for us. Wherever you go, think about it this way. Wherever you go, you're a missionary. Alex, Greg, you're a minister. And I know we're not used to thinking of ourselves this way. There's only one minister here, right? It's me. Wrong. All of us are here. And I'm here to equip the saints for works of ministry. There's a couple of things for your nomenclature. Not only are you saints, but you have ministry. Right? Biblically speaking. So think about it this way. Wherever you are, Brian, you may have a mission and a ministry field in the same place, depending on who's there. Some of the people you're with don't even know who Jesus is. There are those there who do know, and so to them, you're using words to them, that's ministry. You're caring for each other, they're ministering to you, you're ministering to them. But to the others are hearing it, they're like hearing foreign language, you're a missionary to them. Could be that you're around a bunch of people who don't know the Lord. You're just missionary, Travis. And you may be around the baptized, they all know the Lord, so you're in ministry to them, Laura. Be who you are. Live out your life in real time, understanding that you have the authority to make a difference. And it's amazing. And I know none of us feel like we're up to it. That's okay. That's actually the best kind of attitude to have, so that we don't get too, how does it go, big for our britches. And so we humble ourselves saying, Lord, I want to make a difference in my day and my time. I want to be about mission and ministry in my life. I mean, it's fascinating. You can be about ministry and mission just doing your stuff and looking for the opportunities. Wow, what a sunset. God made that. We'll never see this day again. Forgive me, Lord, for all the ways I failed. Isn't it great that the Lord forgives us? You know, you're talking kind of weird, but the people around you, if they're baptized, they'll say, yeah, well, let's thank God for the day. We call that ministry. Or maybe just praying for the people you see. What's fascinating, and here's my nerdiness. So communication, 57% of communication is nonverbal. So your biggest witness is nonverbal. What, does that take you off the hook a little bit? I mean, so just be nonverbal. Go out and be nonverbal. Win people for Jesus, right? And then 36% of your communication is your tone. So just try to be as nice as you can and smile and talk to people and, you know, treat them like you're talking to the Lord. And, you know, if you have to admonish them, but do it knowing that you need the same thing from them, ministry, right? Tone. And then it's only 7% of our communication are the words we use. Wow. For Lutherans, that's kind of a disappointment because we like our words. We like to be accurate and precise and concise and everything and articulate things just right. And go figure, only 7% of communication is that. Oh my goodness. But praise the Lord, we can bear testimony to the glory of God, to the praise of God. And keep in mind that Jesus is your Savior, your coach, and the focus of your praise. He did a mission that none of us could. He did a ministry to you and me that none of us could. And in that, we are now a part of God's family. And there's nothing but love for us. Nothing we can do can make him love us more or any less than he loves us. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And so he did that. He's our Savior. And he's also our coach. He's not afraid to coach us through the things, the difficult things, the mind-bending things. He'll coach us through. And he's the focus of our praise. It's fascinating. You know, we can't see this stuff. We can't see the impact we're making, but Jesus does. As we go about our lives fumbling through this and fumbling through that, feeling like we're not doing what we really need to do and not good at that or this or whatever, what's amazing is that, in a way, that just keeps us humble and it gives all the praise to God. But Jesus sees the real thing. Here's how it went in our gospel reading. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Nonetheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. You know, don't rejoice in that. Don't rejoice in the fact that you're making a difference. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Huh. So our boast is the good news that Jesus, with his blood, wrote our names on the book of life. And that now we know we're his. No matter what we go through, we're his. And he will bring us through whatever we need to go through. So he can accomplish the missio Dei, the mission of God. Because God is serious about seeing his church succeed. His bride, his Zion, his Jerusalem. What did we learn to call it today? Holy Mother Church. To carry out her work to the glory of God. So, trust the Lord. We will reap if we don't give up. Trust the Lord. And no matter what you go through, what you're dealing with, how successful you are, give glory to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen.